1 John 3, 1 through 3. The title of our message for today is Children of God. This is the next message in our essential Christianity study of 1 John. We've been learning together about the essence of Christianity, what is essential to be and to believe to be a true follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Last week we learned that we are living in the last hour. We know that because many antichrists, against Christs, have come into the world. But we should not fear because we have an anointing from the Holy One. We have the truth of the gospel. We have God the Father Himself and His promise of eternal life. In other words, we have everything. So we have no reason to fear, even in these perilous days. John ended chapter 2 with these words. If you know that He, that is Christ, who's coming again, is righteous, you know that everyone who does what is right has been born of Him. Born of Him. Born of Him. And that phrase launches John into a longer section on being the children of God. At least chapter 3, verses 1 through 10 is on that theme, children of God. But we won't get as far as verse 10 this week. So we're going to call this message Children of God Part 1. Next week can be Part 2. Let me read to you what John says in these three verses, and then we'll pray and dig into the glorious details and their application for our lives today. 1 John 3, 1 through 3. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And that's what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Dear friends, now we are children of God. And what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure. Would you pray with me? What a glorious passage of Holy Scripture. Thank you, Lord, for giving us these words. They are precious to us. This is a treasure. Millions of people got up this morning without these words ringing in their hearts. Help us, Lord, not to go through the rest of the day without them singing in ours. We pray it in the name of Jesus. Amen. I love this passage of Holy Scripture, don't you? Probably many of us have this memorized, and most of us, once you start to read it, we have a song that goes in our head, right? We're going to sing that in just a little bit. It's one of those songs that sticks in your head, and if you're at all like me, you can't get that song out of your head when you read this passage. So you know what I was singing yesterday as I was putting the final touches on this message. This is a glorious passage of Scripture. It's full of the best, most beautiful truth. Do you remember back in December, I told you that chapter 2, verses 12 through 14 might be the most encouraging sermon that you heard in 2012? Well, I'm praying that similarly this message would be the most encouraging you hear in 2013, or at least that it gets into your bloodstream and helps you through the rest of 2013 stretching out in front of you. How many had coffee this morning? Okay. How many need that coffee for you to feel alive and awake? Yeah. Some of us have got to that place. This is one of those coffee, okay, if you like coffee. If it's not, fill in your favorite beverage here, okay? This is like one of those something getting into your bloodstream and it coursing through your veins and changing the way you think of the world. The point of this passage is simply that we are the children of God. That's it. That's the whole point. And that's amazing. It makes all the difference for our lives. We are the children of God. 3 points of application this morning. Here's number one. Children of God, Marvel that you are what? Marvel that you are a child of God. Listen to verse 1 again. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. Do you hear the breathless amazement, the astonishment of John as he writes this? I mean, this just takes John's breath away when he puts it down on the page. How great is the love the Father has lavished, I love that word, lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. If you have the old King James Version, it says, behold, what manner of love. This is an amazing love. This is an unheard of love. This is a love unlike any other love. And it's worth repeating and repeating and thinking about and thinking about. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called the children of God. This is one of those verses that preaches itself. All I have to do is read it enough times. But we get used to this idea. Every once in a while, we just kind of, well, yeah, children of God, yeah, come on, tell me something new. Even though John was an apostle, John never got used to this idea. What did it take for us to become the children of God? You need to know that we are not naturally the children of God. The Bible teaches that naturally we are children of wrath. What did it take for us to become the children of God? It took this lavish love bestowed on us, laid on us, given to us. It took the expense of Jesus' precious blood. It took the imputation of my sin onto Jesus' shoulders. It took the cross. It took the crucifixion of the Prince of Glory. It took the death of God's only natural Son, His only begotten Son. And when He did that, I couldn't have cared less. Paul says, God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. When I think of that passage, I think about us holding like an automatic rifle at God. I'm His enemy. And He demonstrates His love for us in that while I'm pointing my weapon at God, He's putting His Son to death. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. The Apostle Paul couldn't get over it either. Listen to me as I read Ephesians 1, where the Apostle Paul gets caught up in talking about this lavish love. This is Ephesians 1, 3-14. Just close your eyes and listen. God has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For He chose us in Him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight. In love, He predestined us to be adopted as His sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with His pleasure and will, to the praise of His glorious grace, which He has freely given us in the one He loves. In Him, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that He lavished on us. Paul uses that word too. With all wisdom and understanding. And He made known to us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. In Him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of Him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of His will, in order that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be for the praise of His glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of His glory. All that is just theological shorthand for the blessings tied up with becoming a child of God. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And then John, if that's not enough, John goes on to say, verse 1 still, and that is what we are! Exclamation mark. John marvels. He rejoices in it. He relishes it. He revels in this lavish love of God. I think John could almost not believe it. That is what we are. Can you believe that? How good it gets. That we, you and me, should be called, have that status of the children of God. And that's what we are. By God's grace. Do you marvel that you are a child of God? That assumes, of course, that you are one. If you are not yet a child of God, the Bible invites you to put your trust in Jesus Christ as your rescuer and your master. John said in chapter 1 of his gospel, to all who receive Christ, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. So if you want to be a child of God, your part is to receive Christ and believe in his name. Believe he is who he said he was. Believe that he died on the cross for your sins and came back to life to give you life and to adopt you as a child of God. He invites you to put your faith in him today. And if you are a child of God, do you marvel in it? Take this cup of hot coffee, this spiritual blend, and drink it down so it gets into your bloodstream. We cannot take this for granted. We could somehow lose the astounding truth of our paternity. We are the children of God. You are a child 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 of God. Tell yourself that. Let it sink in. It is not presumptuous to talk that way. That's the way the Bible talks right here. It doesn't say, I hope I'm a child of God. It says, that is what we are. Say that to yourself. I am a child of God. Those antichrists are not children of God. And they proved it by leaving Christ and his church. They were not of us. They showed it by leaving. But you and I are children of God. That is what we are. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And not just called that. That is what we are. Of course, it doesn't look like it. Sometimes, does it? I mean, if I'm a son of God, why doesn't it seem more like it? I'm certainly not that glorious to look at. Thanks for no amens. I appreciate that. Come on, where's the family resemblance? I don't look yet like Jesus looks, either in body or in soul. A little bit. I look like my big brother Jesus a little bit by his grace. But I'm not there yet. That's the point of these next few sentences. Still in verse 1, the reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. The first reason that the world does not recognize that we are the children of God, you probably have not had the experience where you're walking down the aisle in Walmart and somebody goes, oh, look, it's a child of God. Why does the world say that when they look at us? Well, because they didn't recognize the only begotten child of God the first time. But we are, he says. We are. Verse 2, dear friends, now we are the children of God. And what we will be has not yet been made known, or has not yet appeared. That is to say, we don't yet look like Jesus in full. We can't grasp what that will be like. Just think about it. What will a glorified body actually be like? I mean, we know just a little bit of that, okay? But we just can't wrap our minds around it. What will, better than that, what will a sinless nature be like? No longer tempted by sin. No longer falling to those old habits and those old ways, the old you, just the new you and nothing but the new you, what would that be like? What will having a perfect love for God feel like? We have a love for God. But having a perfect love for God, we don't know. We certainly don't look like that now. Verse 2, but we do know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Here's point 2. Children of God, anticipate what you will be someday. What you will be. Anticipate that. This is one of those already but not yet that are so prevalent in the New Testament. We see that over and over again. You know, my trick question, is the kingdom of God here? Yes and no, right? Already, but not yet. Are we the children of God? Yes, we are. Very truly the children of God. But are we all that the children of God will be? No. There's coming a day when we will fully come into our inheritance. And the Bible is comfortable with using the word adoption for that which has not yet fully come. Our adoption now is a down payment on the adoption to come. The Apostle Paul writes in Romans chapter 8, we received the spirit of sonship, and by Him we cry, Abba, Father. God is now our daddy. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in His sufferings, in order that we may also share in His glory. We ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we are saved. So there's an adoption coming that we are supposed to anticipate, look forward to, living our lives now in light of then. The full inheritance is coming. Listen to verse 2 again. Dear friends, now we are the children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known, but we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. That's something to look forward to. When we behold Him, we shall become like Him. Beholding is becoming. Seeing means becoming. Our adoption will become our glorification. We shall be like Jesus. A body like His, a heart like His, a sinless soul like His, a glory like His. We will be an unbroken mirror of His glory. We will be like sponges that absorb the glory of Christ and soak it up and take on its properties. We will be little Christs, still finite, still creatures, still small in comparison to His infinite greatness, but like Him. Because we will see Him. It's easy to forget that, isn't it? I mean, we get Monday morning rolls around and we just get into our routine. We drink our coffee. We get out into the world. And we forget that we should be living today in light of that day. Do you long for that day? Do you look for its appearing? We learned last week we are living in the last hour and we need to anticipate the return of Christ. Children of God, anticipate what you will be when He appears. Because this is not all there is. This isn't even a fraction of what is coming. Don't settle for this. Don't live for this. Live your life for then. Live it for Him and for whom you will be like. For we will see Him as He is. So marvel that you're a child of God now. But more than that, marvel at what you will become. Do you want to be like Jesus? You will be. Child of God, you will be like Jesus. Tell yourself that. Let that get into your spiritual bloodstream. When my wife was away, one of the preachers that she got to hear when she was with her folks, her family, he said that every morning when you brush your teeth, pray for wisdom. Everybody's got to brush their teeth. use that time to pray for wisdom in 2013. Great advice. I'm going to steal it, and I'm going to say, this week when you brush your teeth, look at the person in the mirror and say, you are a child of God. And say, I will be like Jesus when I see Him. I will be like Jesus when I see Him. I will be like Jesus when I see Him. That's not the power of positive thinking. That's God's Word. I'm a child of God, and I will be like Jesus when I see Him. And verse 3, children of God, purify yourself in hope. Children of God, purify yourself in hope. Verse 3, everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. So everyone who has this hope in him, everyone who is a child of God through faith in Christ Jesus, purifies himself just as Christ is pure. So if you're going to one day look like Christ, then get started today. Purify yourself in hope. Whatever that is in you that is not like Christ needs to go. Whatever is in you that brings shame on the family of God needs to be rooted out. Whatever is in your heart that doesn't look like Jesus' heart needs to be changed. We need to purify ourselves in hope. Everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. We've been adopted through no merit of our own. We've been brought into God's family and accepted just the way we are, given a new birth. But we've been adopted to change. We've been accepted to be altered. We've been saved to be sanctified. We have been made a child of God to look like children of God. We are one day going to look like Jesus. We need to get started right now. Everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. Don't trample the lavish love of God by deciding to just take it for granted and not be conformed to the image of Christ. Paul said, those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. In other words, God went to a lot of trouble to make us his children. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us? He's got a plan for us. We need to cooperate with that plan and purify ourselves. So this is a new year. What needs to be the new you in the new year? And I don't mean a resolution. Take a spiritual inventory. What in your heart and life looks like Christ? Keep that. What in your heart and life does not look like Christ? Go to war against that in 2013. You need to purify yourself in hope. Now hear me on this. Don't try to clean up your act so you'll become a child of God. It does not work that way. That was what John was saying about his friend Luis. But if you are a child of God, if you have this hope in Christ, then you will purify yourself. Tackle the gunk in your life because you have this hope in yourself. Get this into your spiritual bloodstream. I am a child of God. I'll be like Jesus when I see Him. Because of that, I'll purify myself right now. Does that make sense? I'm a child of God. I will be like Jesus when I see Him. Because of that, I will purify myself right now. And that's not a once and done sort of thing, a one and done sort of thing. That's a continual fight to root out the gunk that doesn't belong. I know the gunk that needs to be purified in me right now. Do you know what needs to be purified in you? Our song to the Holy Spirit earlier asks Him to put His finger on the gunk in our life to get it out. And to get this into our spiritual bloodstream to flush it out. I am a child of God. I'll be like Jesus when I see Him. Because of that, I'll purify myself right now. Everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure.